Welcome back to the Utah Jazz Podcast. This is Spencer. Roll call.
Hey, this is Jimbo Rudding at Jimbo Rudding on Twitter.com.
I don't know what my Twitter handle is right now. I'm a little bit out of it. So, okay. So it's just Jimmy and I this week. Mikey is taking a hiatus. Welcome back to episode number 207 of the Utah Jazz Podcast. So do you want to just start off with your opening thought, like to get people fired up right at the beginning?
Me?
Yeah.
Or you?
You. Do you want to do your opening thought right at the beginning?
Yeah, that's fine.
So I need to preface this. This is all Jimmy. This has nothing to do with me. I'm going to answer your question. I'm just saying this has nothing to do with me.
Okay. Let's say, so my opening thought is hypothetical. Let's say the Jazz come to you for some reason and say, hey, we need to trade Cantor or Burke, and we want you to decide who it is. We can't decide. Who is it they trade today, like right now? They're like, we got to get this done tonight by midnight.
Tonight by midnight. We're not even talking like March or the trade deadline or anything like that.
No. Like tonight by midnight. Like, who are you picking tonight?
So based off of 3 weeks of basketball, I need to make a decision which one of these players I'm going to keep or not keep.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. I'm prefacing this. I think that's idiotic, by the way, first of all, because I wouldn't do either of them.
Very plausible.
I don't think it's plausible at all. They're not going to come to you tonight, and they're not going to say, like, they have till the trade deadline.
They have our Twitter handles. They know.
Okay. Here's my dilemma. I'll tell you my dilemma, right? Cantor, based on everything that I know, and not that I know more than anybody else, but over the past, when Ty Corbin was here, he didn't want to be here. Now, I think that's changed based on what Cantor has said and what his agent has said, that Cantor wants to be here. And I'm not the first to say that he's a defensive liability, right? Locke has said it. Spence Checkets has said it. They've talked about it on the radio. So if this is the first time you're hearing that Cantor is struggling defensively, you may live out of state, or you may live in another, you know, another country, but he struggles defensively. I want to say it was either Gordon Monson or Spence Checkets. I've got to say it was Checkets, because I don't imagine Monson saying anything about that. Is that he plays good for like 2 seconds of defense, but then when the ball moves around the court, or he has to go to another assignment, or rotate, or jump off of a pick or a screen or something like that, his defense falls apart and he looks lost. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. On the other side of the floor, though, is I don't think that Trey Burke is lost defensively. I just think liability-wise, he gets outmatched. I mean, you look at the last 4 or 5 games, and every game they've posted him up, right? I mean, the guard who's taller than him, bigger than him, when you have a mismatch, they post him up. So he's a defensive liability. So that's my defensive side. Offensive side, I think Cantor's playing fantastic, right? He makes mistakes every once in a while with his feet, but his footwork, his shot, his mid-range jumper, and depending on the night, his rebounding. And if Trey Burke played like he did the other night in New Orleans, against the Pelicans here, I think he would be fine. And I don't think he's as bad as he's playing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's not a 24% shooter.
So what's your decision?
That was a long explanation, right?
Yeah.
I would say keep the guys that want to be here.
Which means you trade Cantor?
Yeah. If you put me under the gun.
Are you sure he doesn't want to be here though?
Based on everything you said before.
I don't know. I've never heard that, but
There's multiple things. He wanted to go to Chicago for more than just basketball, right? There's a huge Turkish community there, and I personally feel that's one of the reasons they brought Memo back.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's paranoia, but
is to keep Cantor or someone happy. Anyway,
yeah. The reason I bring this up, though, is because I don't know what I choose. it varies like day by day, like game by game. Trey Burke, I mean, like you said, when they post him up, he looks just like a kid, little kid out there. Like he doesn't know what to do. He gets back down and is shot over, and it's easy unless someone comes over and helps. And then Cantor looks like he's just not even interested.
On defense.
On defense. I mean, he's not a jumper, so he just kind of lets him back him in, and then, I mean, he didn't even play the second half of the game last night because of his defense. It was horrible.
Well, and this is where you have a matchup issue, right? I mean, you put Ryan Anderson and Anthony AD in there, and that just causes problems all over the place.
Yeah.
Especially if Anthony Davis continues to hit 20-foot jumpers, like
he's unstoppable.
That was amazing. I've watched a game earlier this year when he played, and he did not even look that good. Like he was amazing last night.
Yeah, I was at the game last night, so I mean I saw. I mean he was like hitting jumpers. He was running the floor. He was playing D, blocking shots. Like he just, it doesn't seem like he's trying that hard. That's what's scary. Doesn't seem like he's working that hard. There were a couple of times where Gordon went by for a layup and he didn't. I mean, they played showed the replay. It didn't even look like Anthony Davis really tried that hard.
To come over to double team or to help out, yeah.
Yeah, to help him. He was like, I'd rather not commit the foul here. I'll let him have the 2 points.
Well, especially when you're up by 20, right? It's like, I know I'm going to get it on the other end. We don't need to stress about it.
Right, because they were getting whatever they wanted on the other side of the court. They were getting whatever they wanted to do. I mean, so much so that Jimmer played most of the third quarter. I mean, and then Cantor was replaced by Steve Novak. When Steve Novak is playing over you because he plays harder on defense than you do, and hopefully that stirs something in Cantor's mind.
So I don't know if that's necessarily an offensive, but the idea is that he can get out and play on Ryan Anderson, right?
Yeah,
They're not the same player, but they play the same position, yeah. Essentially, right? I mean, they're both 6'10", 6'11", they can shoot, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what all the reasoning was, but answer is just, he's a liability on defense. And so, like tonight, right now, by midnight, I would submit Cantor's name to be traded, but the sad part is that it's not like we automatically just get a rim protector back.
No, and here the other thing is too, though. I think like if you have Cantor and Favors together, I don't think Favors is there yet where he can cover everybody else's mistakes. And you saw that with Anthony Davis, right? Is that like guys play a little bit more aggressive D out on their player because they know they have him behind him, and even if he's out of position, he can come over and help. And I feel like defensively, Rudy Gobert is probably the best on the team as far as that goes. Do you know what I'm saying? Like all of the guys trust him that if they let their guy go past, he's going to at least make a play on it and maybe alter the shot or block the shot or come over and help. Now, he doesn't always succeed, but every single time he's kind of coming over on help defense. I don't think that Cantor and Favors are quite there yet, but
yeah,
I don't know. Okay, so here's my opening thought, and it kind of ties into what we talked about. So there was the game where Snyder got the tech early on, and the Jazz came back.
Okay, see?
Yeah, so the Jazz...
I was at that game too, 11th row.
Thanks for the invite, by the way. No, it's all right. You've been to two games in a week, and I didn't get a call. It's okay. No worries. I have better things to do than go to jazz games. Thanks for inviting.
You would have said no anyway.
Huh?
You wouldn't have been able to come.
It's the whole point of the invite. You still haven't gotten that after 25 years. You can still invite people and make them feel important even if they can't go, but that's fine. You probably took your 5-year-old son who didn't appreciate it at all and just wanted soda the whole time. So I hope that was fun for you.
What a burn. Oh my gosh, I feel horrible.
You spent time with your family instead of So, remind me to tell you about the BYU game on Saturday. Oh my gosh. Okay, so, so the idea is, so Snyder gets the tech, and after, I mean, everybody kind of had the idea that he got it on purpose. And you said it, and I was thinking it, and I didn't hear anybody else say it because they were just so like in awe of, oh my gosh, what a great coach. He got a tech to get his team fired up, and they came back and won, which he is. I feel like he's a good coach. It was a smart move. How many times does he have to do that, though, right? And you said the same thing, is do we have to rely on our coach to get a tech to get us pissed off enough to wake us up to want to win to play basketball?
Yeah.
Right. Shouldn't there be an intrinsic motivator in an NBA player to want to wake the F up, right? I mean, wake the heck up, I guess is the way that he would put it.
The thing is that night the Jazz were a better team than the Thunder. Like, just, I mean, they just are right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He totally could have gotten another tech last night against the Pelicans, but the Pelicans are a better team than we are, right? So it's not going to do you any good to just go out there and get a tech every single game. It's not going to work every time, obviously, too. It just happened that was just a perfect time, and they were playing so bad against an inferior team at home. No. It was just time to do something. He was kind of at his wit's end, and I don't blame him. Like, that's why I'd be a horrible coach. I'd be like
getting a tech every game. It's like the metaphorical spanking of your kids. When you get to the line and you can't do it anymore, and you just spank your kids because you can't get them to do what you want. I know what you're saying.
I don't spank my kids.
Yeah, neither do I. But just from the stories you were telling me, that's what I was saying.
I don't spank them. I break a tree branch off of the tree outside, and I just whip them.
That reminds me. You know this, and I know this. Is Jimmy never got in trouble in high school or junior high that I can remember? Because your parents didn't care.
No, they cared.
No, they cared. But you were just a good kid. That was the issue. Like, I don't know a better kid than Jimmy, right? My dad and mom used the wooden spoon, and oh my gosh, like I still remember some of those times. Anyway.
And you haven't spoken to your parents in 10 years, and I speak to mine every day.
Something like that. Okay, so...
And they took me to Hawaii.
Huh?
And they took me to Hawaii.
Great. That's good.
I've never been to Hawaii. That was a joke.
Oh, I was going to say, I prefer to earn my own way to Hawaii. So, okay. no, if my in-laws or parents wanted to say, hey, we'll take you to Hawaii, I would be like, that's fine. Okay. All right, so those are the two opening thoughts. Let's go over last week's game. So it was a Tuesday night, and I could have gone. Thank you for asking. So Tuesday, November 18th, we beat the – the crazy thing is it's like – it was like a 35-point swing. We were down by 17 and end up winning by 17. Final score was 98-81.
You're talking about the Thunder game, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Thunder game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird game, especially to be at, you know, because, like, they played so bad. It was like, oh, we're going to be horrible this year.
So let me ask you this.
So good. Like, we're going to beat everybody. We're going to the playoffs.
Right. And then, you know, but we haven't gone on a major losing streak, right? We've lost four of our past six, but we've had some win. Knicks on the road and Thunder at home. So let me ask you this: how is it full? Is the ESA full? You've been to two games the past week. Was it full?
Yeah, last night. No, I mean the lower. For a team that is probably going to be another lottery team and high lottery team, it's full enough. I mean, I guarantee you, you go to Orlando Magic game, you're not going to see half as many people at their game.
Right.
Last night it was full enough. I mean, for the Pelicans, I guess on a Saturday night, it was good.
Well, and I guess my question is that, right, is Anthony Davis, he's not quite there yet, but do you imagine next year, like, people come just to watch him?
Oh, dude, he's there now. He was amazing.
No. I'm saying I would go, but I'm just saying, I don't think like the little kids have caught on. I don't think he has that huge shoe deal or the Gatorade thing yet. I think that's coming. Right. What I'm saying is like a full on. Like, this is the year he plays in the All-Star game. I mean, I know he played like, but the idea is where he just like takes over. I mean, it was ridiculous last night. It was embarrassing how good he was.
Yeah, yeah, we couldn't do anything to it either. He was too quick to double. We couldn't do anything with him. I mean, right. I mean, Tyreek Evans. That's a good team. If they don't make the playoffs this year, that's a huge. disappointment for me.
Yeah, but the West is so good.
They are, but they're a good team. I like that team. Drew Holiday's a great defender.
Yeah, he played solid.
Evans, when he's under control, is great. They got great. Ryan Anderson can get streaky. There's a lot of good players on that team.
Okay.
You look over at us, and you're like, no, Jeremy Evans, great.
Okay, so the Warriors, that didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I figured we were going to get destroyed in that game.
We had a comeback in the fourth. It just wasn't enough time. And, you know, I wouldn't really call it a comeback when you're down 25 and you cut it to 13. But
right, and you're the end of your bench is playing the end of their bench. But still, you know.
Right.
At least we're fighting still. I'm cool with that.
Well, and it was good because Exum got, you know, like almost a full quarter and a half, right? I mean, of basketball against some decent players.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go over this week's game. We've got three games this week. It's a weird week. Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. Usually they do Monday, Wednesday, Friday because of Thanksgiving and football. So, okay, so we did a little bit of research on the Bulls. So it looks like Taj Gibson went back to Chicago. He's for sure out. Deng, Rose, and Heinrich are all questionable. I would say two of the three of those don't play. And even if – I think if Gasol and Heinrich play, I still think we win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know. Noah and Gasol, that'd be kind of – again, it's Kanter. Like, who's Kanter going to guard? Noah? Either one, he's going to get destroyed.
Yeah, but Noah offensively is not a juggernaut. Noah gets his points from rebounds and stuff like that. So I don't think I don't think he really has to play defense on Noah as much as boxing out and just always keeping him within arm's length. You know what I mean? Like, they don't run any plays for him. Well, I shouldn't say any. But most of his stuff comes from, you know, I guess the one thing that you would need to watch out for, right, is Gasol and the double team, like, interior passing and stuff like that. But I don't feel like...
You ask, when is it that Dante Exum is going to start over Trey Burke? When is it during this season?
I didn't ask that. Did
no,
I?
No, you did. Someone else did to me today. But then, if you turn it around, like, when is it that Gobert is going to start over Kanter?
I think that happens sooner than Exum over Burke.
I would agree with that. And I think, actually, that's a good move. Like, because Gobert will get you defensively off to the right start. And then you put Kanter in against their two. Their second string power forward or whatever.
And offensively, like, he can do
way
more.
Better than I do with a starter.
No, that's a good thought, right? And I mean, you'd have to imagine that they've thought about it, right? If the two of us living in our parents' basement have thought about it, then Snyder and all of his coaches have thought about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You would think.
I hope so. Otherwise, they should be paying me to coach the team.
So here's my thing, right? This is my feeling. My feeling is that Quinn Snyder is doing what he can. I think he breaks Trey Burke if Exum starts.
And that's
unless you can get him to a point where how do you tell him that? Hey, he's playing better than you, or do you know what I mean?
He's the future. That's the thing. It's like Trey Burke, he's not a starting point guard in the league. He's just not. As much as we want him to be, he's not. Unless he starts distributing the ball better and not turning it over and shooting better, which I think he'll start shooting better. He had a great game last night shooting-wise. He only had four assists and they had four turnovers, so that kind of negates his assist to me.
Right, so you need what? I mean, between 7 and 8, I mean, which is crazy to say because Stockton used to get, like, he averaged one season, what, like 13 and a half, 14 right. One year? Like, I'm fine right now if our point guard gets 7 assists a game.
Yeah, 7 would be nice. To average 7, it would be great. The thing is, like, look around him. He'll have Gobert, Favors, Kanter, Hayward. I mean, he should be getting 7 anyway, just with those three guys around him. And granted, he doesn't play with Gobert all the time, but I mean, he should be able. That 7 assists should be a goal for him every game, and that should be attainable. I guarantee you, if you give Exum starter minutes right now, he'd get 7 assists a game. And I'm not on Exum's. Like, I don't hate Burke, because I don't. I just don't think that he's. I don't think he's starting point guard in the NBA material.
Okay. So who wins that game, Bulls or Jazz, tomorrow night?
I agree with you. If Derrick Rose, Gasol are out, that's the Jazz win that game. they should win it no matter what, just because of like pride factor. Because I mean, the Pelicans game should have pissed them off. The Warriors game should have pissed them off. They should, you know, can't let teams come into the ESA and win, even if they're on paper better than you. Like, we got to get back to that whole protect the home court mentality. Just seems like we just get down on ourselves, or we just give up too easily on stuff.
We have, I mean, so here's the thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 of our next 10 games are at home.
Yeah, see, that's cool. I mean, it's good because then we go on the big road trip, right? The Christmas road trip.
There's a couple more. I'm going until December 12th. We won't get through all of them. So the two games that we have on the road from now until the 12th are the Kings and the Thunder, which is this week. So, okay. So I'm gonna call a win versus the Bulls on Monday night. So let's go to Wednesday night versus the Thunder, assuming that both those guys are still out. I know they're practicing, or at least they're doing shoot around. Assuming that Durant and Westbrook are out, as well as who's the other guy that got injured? They have another player that got injured, and I can't remember his name. The one that we wanted to draft that they picked up like at 18 or 19.
I don't know.
Is it Perry Ellis the third?
Perry the third. What was his first name?
I don't remember. I don't have the roster pulled up in front
Perry
of me.
Perry Jones the third.
There it is. Perry Jones the third. Okay. Thunder Wednesday night.
That's gonna be a revenge game. I think we're gonna lose that game. It's on the road, and I don't know. The Jazz are just, especially lately. I don't know. They've been a way better road team than the last few years, though. Have you noticed that already so far?
Well, they've won. They're 2-2 on the road, right? So they lost to the Cavs.
They beat the Cavs at home.
No. Sorry, I'm looking at the. I'm looking at the wrong one. So they beat the Pistons on the road, and they beat the Knicks on the road that road trip.
This is the Jazz podcast, right? Am I on the wrong podcast?
I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So
I'm gonna say a loss. I agree with you. I don't think they're there yet on the road, which I'm okay with. I mean, if they lose by 8 or 9, you know.
As long as they don't lose by get down by 20 in the second quarter, I'm cool with losing on the road.
Okay, and then Saturday night versus the Clippers. At home.
What?
At home. Saturday night versus the Clippers.
What do you think?
So the Jazz will get home. The Jazz will get home late that night. Spend Thursday, obviously, Thanksgiving. Probably have a shoot around Friday unless he gives them the day off. I think that depends on what they do on Thursday. Maybe have like a walkthrough on Saturday. And then I'm going to say we lose, but I don't really like the matchup. I feel like, I mean, we played him once already. What was the final score of that one?
No, we played him in preseason.
And I guess that's different because I felt like we matched up well with them when Gobert came in and kind of helped out with Griffin and Jordan. It'll be interesting to see, though. I mean, Chris Paul, he's going to cause havoc all over the place.
Right, because Burke can't guard him.
Well, yeah, I mean, who can guard Chris Paul? Right. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I just said that. But that's cool. This is the Clippers podcast, right?
But the idea I want Trey Burke to make Chris Paul work on the other end.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, even so we're going to talk about this, I would imagine, right? Is that Gordon Hayward's playing really, really good basketball.
Yeah, he is. He's playing great.
And I'm saying both sides of the floor. And you know what pisses me off the most? Where was this last year? And everybody's going to be like, oh, it was there last year. And I'm like, no, there's something different about him. And you can say it's the money, and I don't think it's the money. I think it's something else. So
it's the head coach?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Ty Corbin, man. Something was wrong with that guy.
No. I don't think anything was wrong with him. I just think that him and Hayward's relationship was not as good as everybody thought it was. And it's apparent on, you know, I don't know.
No, something's wrong with him. I don't know what I something's different.
I feel like every time I say his name, I'm going to get flack from somebody about how much they love him. And I'm like, sure, he's a great dude, but he wasn't a good coach. Can we just like get on with that now?
Right. Yeah, he was cool. I would have hung out with him, but I'm not. Yeah, I don't want him coaching my team.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I would have held his hand at classic skating and done a couple laps, but I'm not. I don't want him to coach the Jazz.
Do you think the Clippers win or not?
Yeah, the Jazz. I mean, no, the Jazz aren't. Yeah, that's a loss.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there's one of the other things I wanted to talk about too is the Booker. What are your thoughts on Booker?
He's only my favorite player on the team right now.
He's only your favorite player on the team right now.
I'm dead serious. Like, I'm dead serious. I've never been more serious than I am right now about Trevor Booker. I love that guy.
I can't tell right now. I'm looking at your face, and I'm listening to your voice, and I can't really tell right now because you don't look serious enough.
No, I'm serious. I'm, like, dead serious.
Okay, what do you love about him then?
What do I love about him? What's not to love? The dude freaking hustles his butt off. He cares about winning and losing. You know, he's like, he uses every single ounce of ability and talent that was given to him. He's like a Damari Carroll, only a little bit bigger and stronger.
Okay. He's really your favorite. Are you going to get the Booker jersey, or do we need to sign him to a contract?
You know what? I don't know. He's got another year, so he's one of those guys where I would buy his jersey and wear it proudly when he gets a sweet contract after next year. From some other team that pays him a lot of money because he's a good player and he is tough. He doesn't care about Blake Griffin and all his money and fans and whatnot. He'll go and freaking grab him and push him in the face and shove him on the floor.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if he'll do that.
He just did in preseason. Did you not watch it?
He grabbed him in the face and shoved him to the floor.
I thought it was a face, but it was around the face area. I'm serious, man. When watching Derek Favors passively go up for a layup sometimes against big guys, and like I don't know how many times, like two or three times last night, he went up for a layup, got blocked, went back up, got blocked again, back up, got fouled probably, wasn't called, and it was like a little series of like weird offensive rebounds. Like he because he didn't go up strong and get fouled or get blocked. He never got the call. You know what I mean? That drives me crazy about Derek Favors. I like him, but he's not tough enough for me. You know what I mean? He needs a mean streak in him. He needs to just go up and get fouled, or foul somebody else really hard. Right? You have to agree with me with this.
I do think he. I don't know. Mean streak. I thought he was going to bring that, but he hasn't.
He hasn't. He's not tough enough. He's not. He can go up and get fouled. He can go up and try to dunk it instead of try to lay it in, try to get a layup.
Are you just talking about that one sequence last night that you're frustrated with?
Yeah, there was a few of them. And I granted, he's going against Ajinsa or whatever his name is. And
Hold on one second.
I'm gonna say something.
I had to take care of the kiddo. Okay.
You're such a liar. You call diarrhea the kiddo?
I guess. Yeah, is that what you call it? Yeah, I got to take care of the kiddo. That's what you say at work and all that stuff?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so we're recording. We're recording. Okay, so you were talking about Favors. So let's go through. I just wanted to, like, pull up.
So while you were taking care of the kiddos, I was saying that he just needs a mean stream. There was a sequence like you were talking about. Went up, tried to dunk it, or tried to lay it up, like five times, got blocked. All I got to do is crouch down a little lower and try to do a super jump, right? And if you can't get over the block, then you get fouled or just take the block like a man, right?
Okay, so here there's a couple things. Jazz are pretty much middle of the road, right? Total rebounds per game, we're 25th.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's horrible, right? With the guys that we have, points in the paint per game, we're number 10 in the league. Points per game, we're 23rd, so we're down. You know, there. But efficiency-wise, like, our field goal percentage is ninth in the league, and that's the effective field goal percentage, not just straight field goal percentage. Field goal attempts a game, though, we're 29th in the league.
Because we don't get offensive rebounds.
Well, I don't know if, I mean, our pace of play, what's the pace of play, right? That was the whole idea, is push it up the floor. I think we saw that for the first week and a half. I don't know. They haven't been running the past few games. And I don't know if it's because teams have scouted us, but we're not going as fast as we were at the beginning of the year, those first three or four games.
I know that we pass the ball more than anybody else, though.
Yeah, that's like the advanced stats. So here's, I'm looking at some of the other things where we're, so blocks per game, we're number 11. At 5.1 blocks per game. And then turnovers per game, 15.4. That number has gone up in the past week. We're 22nd in the league on that. So.
As long as we're not dead last on in everything like last year seemed like, I'm okay
No,
with it.
so the opponent's free throws per game is number two in the league, which means that we're giving up the least amount of free throws
That's cool.
besides one other team.
Doesn't really feel like that, but that's cool.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all, right? I'm trying to look. I'm looking at anything else to see if it's like majorly assists per game. We give up a lot of assists per game. We give up 19.2, which is fifth most in the NBA.
That's cool because Burke he got four last night, so that's good. You know what was kind of nice though is when we beat the Knicks is Derek Fisher had to take it, Carmelo Anthony. It was just a good night all around, right? For as much as I've been making fun of Burke, that shot was awesome.
So the Jazz have not won two games in a row this year. They're
Really?
0-5 after a win and 5-3 after a loss.
Wow.
So 5-9 overall, right? And since we lost our last game, I expect to win tomorrow night, which would be fantastic.
That would be nice.
Anyway, I can go through other stuff, but that's pretty much, yeah. Anyway, okay.
That's cool.
Closing thoughts.
Go ahead.
So my closing thought is we've talked about it multiple times. Everybody was excited before the year start, predicting 40 wins, all that stuff. I'm still trying to keep it realistic at 30, which is fine. And everybody said this. I remember you and Mikey both said this, and I've heard this from multiple people, is even though they're losing, they're way more fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Totally, right?
Yeah. I mean, even when they're getting killed by 20, I would rather watch this team than, the old post. I had a hard time with that. I know you did too, but I mean, we were
Yeah.
winning right then. So it's like, what do you want? Do you want to win or have a better product?
Yeah. That's the
I
thing
don't
is
know.
like giving it to the post on the in the post down low and getting out of the way wasn't winning games, so why not try something different? Oh no, let's just keep playing Richard Jefferson and let's just see if we can ride this season out and get a new contract. Like the guy wasn't, I mean, the more I watch this team, the more I'm irritated at Ty Corbin.
You mean because of what happened last year?
Yeah, just because the last 2 years, really. And Marvin Williams, sure, he's great, but he's not the future of the Jazz. And I mean, we all loved him because he was okay. Like he was okay, but he wasn't winning games. Like they weren't doing anything that made us get out of our seats. That's the other thing too, is that last night, in the whole first half, the biggest cheer was for that dude balancing on chairs, on the white chairs. Like that's stupid. That's stupid for an NBA franchise. That's stupid at home. So, I don't know. Stuff like that bugs me. If the players don't care, how do they expect the fans to care? Or the coach, I guess. If Ty Corbin doesn't care, why should we care? Why should we come to the game? He's actually lucky that a lot of people, so many people did keep going to the game.
Well, and I think part of that is they have the tickets, right? They don't want to waste the money and different things like that. We'll talk about that after, but okay, what's your closing thought?
The other, I feel bad. It's kind of like a I don't mean this to be a downer podcast, but
I don't think it's a downer, right?
Okay, good. Okay, good. Because maybe it's just me. I feel like I'm like just hating on everybody. I don't mean to, but
no, it's you. Just you're negative all the time.
But Alec Burks, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but does it seem like he's getting to the rim less this season? Like he's going in, like trying to get fouled and get to the rim less.
Yes.
Okay, I just didn't know if that's just like my perception, if it's really happening.
I mean, I'm sure like statistically we could figure it out. I mean, not right now, like live on the podcast, but later we could.
Yeah, but I'm not interested enough to do that. I don't care that much about it.
This is what I'm saying. I bet the stats, whatever advanced or regular stats, would show that your assumption is correct.
Okay.
Like the eye test is he's not going to the lane as much.
Right. Yeah, the eye test. Those are my best ways to get to collect stats. But yeah, so him getting to the rim and he shoots a lot more jumpers. And I don't know if that's because sometimes he gets the ball with shot clock going down. He has to do something with it. That's the easiest way to get a shot out or a shot off. Well,
go ahead.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess the other thing they could though is that it's like, okay, listen, he wants to go to the rim, so let's not let him go. Let's back off of him a little bit. You know what I mean? So maybe they're actually getting
they're scouting him.
Yeah, they're scouting him, which I would make sense, right? That you scout a player that you're going to play against.
He's a starter.
And give him 2.5 feet instead of letting him blow by you because that's what he wants. So it's kind of like I'm trying to think of another player. What's his name on the Knicks, right?
J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. Smith is he wants to get to the rim, but if you give him a shot or give him a little bit of room, he's going to take the shot, and that's what you want because if he's on an off night, he's going to miss and he's going to hit. You know what I mean? Like, think about that. Like.
That was a sign of how long that we have been friends, is that all you had to say is, what's his name on the Knicks? And I said, oh, yeah, J.R. Smith. And you're like, yeah, J.R. Smith.
Oh, right? Gosh. Yeah.
That's cool.
I guess.
So, yeah, it worked out.
So, anyway, do you remember when, and this is my closing thought, do you remember when my mom dressed up as Santa Claus in high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, on your birthday every year?
Yeah. So I told all my students about that and they didn't believe me. Like none of them have ever believed me. They're like, nah, your mom wouldn't do that. I'm like, no, every year. And it wasn't always Santa Claus. Sometimes it was a gorilla. Sometimes it was like 1 year she dressed up as Tinkerbell. Anyway, so I don't know if you saw or not. So my mom, my sister, and my brother all came into the school and dressed up as Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus, and an elf. And all of my students were there. Anyway,
cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And then like, I was like, see, I told you. And all my kids are like, what? Anyway. And my wife came in with the kiddos too. And she made me an amazing sandwich.
Wow. So,
you remember the sandwich that Elvis Presley loved?
That's what you call it?
No. Do you know what you want to talk about?
A real sandwich?
Yeah. You're such a dude.
Wait, what? What are we talking about?
No. Yeah. She came into the school with the kids.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Don't you remember his favorite sandwich?
No, I don't. I'm not an Elvis fan, really.
Oh. Anyway, so it's a, and I don't know, I think his had bananas, but it's peanut butter and jelly and a pound of bacon, the fool's gold, on a big old loaf of bread. That's what she bought in for lunch. It's a pound of bacon, a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly. And then
the whole jar?
Yeah, you cook the whole thing and you put it on like this huge croissant, like huge, like this big. Anyway, so that's what you brought in.
Holy crap.
I didn't eat the whole thing, obviously. I cut it up and shared it with some of the other teachers, but it was good. It was solid good. So I think Elvis Presley put bananas on it, and there was a place in New York where they would fly it, like he would fly to go get it and come home. Anyway, so she made one for me. It was great. So okay.
So needless to say, you've been eating a lot of Activia yogurt lately.
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
So I'm good, dude. I'm down. I went and got some new suits. I'm down 30 pounds since coming back from Texas.
Really?
Yeah. When I got here, I was 215, 217 actually. And now I'm down to 185.
How'd you do that?
Portion control. And I've been playing basketball after school.
That's cool.
For about an hour, wow, hour and a half every day. So anyway, not that anybody else wants to hear about this on the podcast because we're still recording, but congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I still have a little bit more to go. Okay, what's the hashtag for this week?
Oh, yeah. Kiddos, since we had to take that little break.
You have kiddos, too. We've talked about this. You have kiddos all the time.
Oh, I know, but you just had that sandwich for your birthday, and you had to drop the kiddos off.
I guess. Anyway, okay, the kiddos. All right, thanks for listening to the Utah Jazz Podcast. Have a great day.
Go Jazz!